Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash, and you're listening to episode 246 of Chat Disney. So welcome back to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast. And last week saw Thanksgiving 2023, which is not something that we traditionally celebrate here in the UK. But as we do have so many American listeners, we thought it would be nice to dedicate this episode to Thanksgiving, because it's not really something that we have done here before on the Chat Disney podcast. So we're going to be talking all about the most grateful Disney characters and why they are grateful. But before we get into that, let's have a quick look at what is happening in the world of Disney this week. So kicking off today with some news from Walt Disney World, and the Scentsy logo has been added to Dumbo the Flying Elephant ahead of Smellephants on Parade. Now, Smellephants on Parade is basically a new experience for guests entering Storybook Circus. Timothy Q Mouse will be there seeking out a whiff assistant to join Dumbo's newest act, and basically cast members will then provide guests with a map and a sticker sheet to guide guests, and they will explore Storybook Circus to find a number of Smellephant statues, each with a unique circus-inspired fragrance, popcorn being one of them. Now, I love the many smells of Disneyland, so this sounds really, really interesting, and I wonder if it's something we'll see rolled out to the other parks as well. Staying in the Magic Kingdom, Genie Plus sold out 2 days running over the Thanksgiving holiday last week, and the park saw very, very high numbers, very, very long waits for queues. And finally, Walt Disney World news today, the American Adventure Pavilion at Epcot celebrates the holidays with gingerbread renditions of national monuments. Now, these are super, super cute. I definitely would recommend heading online and checking them out. These monuments do include things like the Martin Luther King Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial, as well as the American Adventure Building at Epcot itself. Very, very nice indeed. Heading over to Disneyland Paris as well, and the Disneyland Hotel cast member costumes have been revealed, and these have Victorian and medieval nods in them. Check them out online. They're not my favourite costumes I've ever seen, but I've only had snippets of them at the moment, so yeah, I'll be very intrigued as we see more of these costumes. And finally, it's a short news week this week. We've got some movie news, and Wish was released last week on Thanksgiving, and it has so far received quite a few negative reviews. There are some mixed reviews, but generally on the overall side, the reviews seem to be quite negative. I'm not going to go into this too much because Mercedes and I are going to be doing a full episode dedicated to Disney's Wish next week, where I'm sure we will be dissecting and talking about some of the reviews as well, and whether or not we agree with them. But there we are. That is pretty much everything that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. I did say it is a quiet news week. We are now going to move on to the main part of the episode, talking all about the most thankful Disney characters. So, Thanksgiving, Mercedes, as I said in the introduction, it is primarily an American celebration. Have you ever done anything for Thanksgiving here?
I actually have, but not like, because people are probably like, okay, why, you weirdo? I have lots of American colleagues, and I've worked for companies that are based in the States, and therefore, in the spirit of being equal and celebrating all different kinds of holidays and things like that, I have celebrated Thanksgiving through like work things, and also through my American colleagues that I've been grateful enough to work with over the past however many years. I've learned a lot about their Thanksgiving customaries and traditions as well. And there's a couple of things about Thanksgiving that I didn't know that I've learned, which may or may not surprise some of our UK listeners. So Tash, I'll tell you about some of them, and maybe some of them will surprise you. I know you did Camp America many moons ago, so you might know about some of this as well. But if not, then here's a little bit of education to all of our UK listeners. I feel like this might be in the danger of being a little bit like that time when I told you about the NFL and lots of our American listeners tweeted us laughing at my explanation. So hopefully this one is a little bit more accurate today. But the first thing that I learned through my American colleagues about Thanksgiving and that I have actually taken part in is a potluck. Have you heard about this, Tash?
I've actually done a potluck. So when we lived in Shanghai, we obviously had a lot of American friends there. So 3 years running, we did a Thanksgiving celebration with them and we took part in a potluck.
So I have also taken part in a potluck, as I said, just a moment ago. And I had never heard of it before. And I honestly think it is the greatest thing ever. And those of you that are regular listeners of the Chat Disney podcast and been with us for the last couple of years will know that I am a massive, massive foodie. And I think that we should have potlucks in the UK for Christmas, Easter, all of our celebrations as well. So basically, a potluck is a big family dinner, friends dinner, big celebration where everybody brings a dish. So for Thanksgiving, it might be that somebody brings a pecan pie, somebody brings a massive, you know, mashed potatoes, somebody brings the vegetables, someone brings a casserole, like independent people bring the food. And I like that a lot. I hosted my first Christmas in the UK, like two or three. I mean, I've only ever hosted Christmas in the UK. I don't know why I said in the UK, and Christmas is global, but whatever. I hosted my first Christmas like, I can't remember when it was, like 2 or 3 years ago. And oh my God, like our poor parents, I had no idea how expensive Christmas is. The turkey on its own was like 75 quid, like mental. So this idea, especially for something like Thanksgiving, which is about gratitude, of everyone coming together and contributing something, love that. I think it's great.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it is something that we should do more with Christmas, because you're right. I always feel so guilty for my poor parents year after year who buy all the Christmas food in. They've started buying it in already and they never, never want us to bring anything over. And, you know, we're adults now. It's not as if we're like poor uni students, right? We can help, we can contribute our own thing, but no, 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 they just won't have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we've started to do is like, if you're the host, then yeah, you're hosting, fine. But then like I'm hosting Boxing Day this year, so I'll take care of all of that. So that's kind of how we're paying it back, as it were. And then the other thing that I learned about Thanksgiving when I was working with America, I still work with American people, but obviously I'm on mat leave. So, you know, it feels like a distant memory. And I thought this was really, really interesting. And a guy who I used to work with called Paul chatted to me about this for a very long time, based in New York. And he was talking about going home for the holidays, meaning Thanksgiving. And I had no idea that for most Americans, Thanksgiving is like a much, much bigger deal than Christmas. So a lot of them will travel home, like if they live in a different state, if they've got family in a different part of the country, they'll travel home for Thanksgiving. But then like Christmas, they'll just have a quiet one in their apartment in New York or wherever they are. And I didn't know that, Tash. I didn't know that Thanksgiving was like more of a thing than Christmas.
Yeah, I only found that out a few years ago as well. So my husband's dad is married to an American woman. He lives in the States. And it was when I was having a conversation with her a couple of years ago about what their plans were for Christmas. And she's got a couple of grandchildren. And she was like, oh, like, not really much. Like, we'll probably have the family over and stuff. But obviously, we've got Thanksgiving next week. So this is what we're doing. And I was like, oh, like, so do you go more in for Thanksgiving than you do for Christmas? And she was like, God, yeah.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's like the family celebration. So for UK listeners, the way that we do Christmas is how Americans do Thanksgiving. And obviously Christmas is still a nice celebration, but it's much lower key generally, typically, than Thanksgiving for most families. Obviously there's exceptions to that. A really good depiction of Thanksgiving, I think, in a movie, which isn't Disney, so whatever. But The Blind Side, fantastic movie with Sandra Bullock, if you've not checked it out before, they have like a big Southern Thanksgiving feast and like the NFL's on, because I think NFL and Thanksgiving kind of go hand in hand. And yeah, so that's, I think it's, is it the NFL they watch on Thanksgiving? I feel like in This Is Us, which is on Disney Plus, there's a thing about Or no, am I thinking? I think I'm crossing wires, actually.
I don't know. I know in like Thanksgiving episodes of Friends, they're watching some kind of sport.
I'm pretty sure there's like a big NFL game on Thanksgiving, but I might be getting confused with Super Bowl Sunday, which I know is a completely different thing. So this is the part where our American listeners are like, you're talking rubbish, but whatever. I think there's a sporting thing that happens on Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, yeah, my knowledge of this is pretty low, but again, my knowledge of Thanksgiving really comes from episodes of Friends. So yeah, I know that definitely in two episodes, there's one where they go and play sport and it is American football, and there is definitely one when they watch one. So yeah,
whatever, there we go.
Because can you imagine if there was like a football game on Christmas Day, like in the UK? I know in my family personally, we would be like, absolutely no way, no one is watching football on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting, isn't it? Because Christmas, even though pretty much everybody in the UK celebrates it, it is a religious event. Like, it is. I'm not religious at all, and yet I still celebrate it. And I know people who are Jewish, Muslim, that live in the UK and still celebrate Christmas because it's basically become an opportunity to be thankful and be grateful and all of those things that Americans have Thanksgiving for. And it's also very commercial and not really about Jesus and Mary and Joseph anymore. I don't know. I think that's probably why we don't have anything like that. But hey, we have the King's Speech this year, and that's new. Normally it was the Queen's Speech. Didn't she die last year?
We did have a King's Speech last year. Yes, we did. You're right.
I didn't watch it, so that's why I forgot.
I didn't watch it either. I don't know why. But I feel like the traditional like British Christmas is like maybe not on Christmas Day, but in terms of like television, is centered around like the soaps, like EastEnders and Coronation Street. They always have like these big dramatic Christmas stories, and that's more like what people talk about in terms of TV than sport.
Yeah, and like movies like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and will be on, and randomly things like Deep Impact are always on for like
it's always on like over the Christmas period at some point when you don't know what day it is, what time it is. Deep Impact will be there. It'll be on.
It'll be Deep Impact, Lake Placid.
Yes.
And then like all of the Harry Potter movies.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they're all everybody on like now in the run up.
Gosh, that's depressing, isn't it? But yeah, so anyway, Thanksgiving in a nutshell. And I'm sure there are many Disney Channel Thanksgiving episodes, that like there's got to be a Thanksgiving episode of like Hannah Montana or Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, but right now off the top of my head I can't think of any specifically. But there we are. So in honor of Thanksgiving, which took place in the States last year, obviously it is starting to kind of make its way over here, which is really weird because it's definitely not a British holiday, but we are getting things like Black Friday, Cyber Monday. They are things now in the UK, which is wild because they're for Thanksgiving. But anyway, we thought it would be a really good idea, as Tash said in the intro, to dedicate this week's episode to Thanksgiving, to share some love with all of our US listeners. And so we have comprised a list of not 10, but 20 Disney characters who we feel best embody gratitude. So we've got 10 picks each, and it'll be great for you listeners at home to have a think about some of the Disney characters that you think really exemplify gratitude, thanks, and are just quite gracious, thankful people.
Absolutely. So shall I kick us off today? I'm going to go in strong with one of the characters who I think is probably the most thankful, and I have got the genie, of course, from Aladdin. Now, the genie is probably one of the most selfless characters that we see across any Disney movie. I know it's kind of against his own free will. He is stuck in a lamp, but he makes everybody else's wishes come true. He makes other people grateful for what they can get from him. But then, of course, at the end, we have that iconic scene where Aladdin does finally set him free. And the genie almost wells up because he just can't believe that someone has finally returned the favor to him and given him something that he has yearned for his whole life, and he's so grateful for it, for Aladdin. So I think more than any other character, I think just the selflessness that the genie embodies and how grateful he is to Aladdin at the end is why he's on my list.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's quite humble, isn't he? Like, he doesn't expect the freedom. And that's what I like about that moment. And it is very tender for a character who's quite bold and big and out there. It is quite a tender, humble, sincere moment. So I think that's a really lovely one to kick us off with, Tash.
Absolutely. So what are you going in with first?
So I have got a character who is also quite a big personality, but in quite a simple way. So I am starting things off with Winnie the Pooh. Now, I'm actually not a massive Winnie the Pooh fan, although I can already feel that now that I have a baby, that is starting to change. The Winnie the Pooh merchandise is starting to infiltrate my home. And hey, I mean, there are worse characters for a baby to be really into. So yeah, I am kind of warming to the world of Winnie the Pooh. And I think the reason that I immediately thought of Winnie the Pooh when we were thinking about characters who are quite grateful and thankful is that he's a character who is pretty simplistic. And he's known for having this very kind of simple approach to the world around him, whether that's honey or his friends or whatever it might be. But with that simplicity is an air of genuine appreciation. And he really takes pleasure from the little joys in life. So I think that he shows gratitude through kind of his warm and caring nature. But also, again, there's a humbleness to him and the sincerity of just like finding a pot of honey and that completely making his day is very, very lovely to watch.
Absolutely. And I think there is a lot to say for those characters that do kind of recognize those little moments in life. Whereas with the genie, he's thankful at the end with that big elaborate gesture that Aladdin kind of bestows upon him, setting him free. Whereas my next character is more similar to Winnie the Pooh in the sense of finding gratitude in the everyday. And I have gone from Dory from Finding Nemo. I was going to say Finding Dory. She is from Finding Dory, but obviously mostly she's from Finding Nemo. But yeah, Dory, obviously, despite her forgetfulness and her amnesia, she is just very grateful to be a happy little fish swimming around the ocean. Obviously, she's very, very grateful to Marlin for his friendship. And it's a very unlikely friendship. I don't know if necessarily in the beginning of the film we see much gratitude from Marlin to Dory, even though he really should be grateful for her because she is doing him a massive favour and helping him. But as the movie goes on, we do see that change and we see a real friendship come out of those two, that unlikely duo. And that does carry on into the second movie as well, where we're obviously reunited with Nemo and Marlin and Dory. And this time they are helping her to remember who she is and to find her family. So I just love that we see her gratitude through, you know, how she is with these two characters and how she helps them. And she's just such a sweet, loving character. And I think that she is very, very grateful for her friendship with Marlin and Nemo and just all those little moments in life. You know, she can find joy in a random school of fish, you can find joy in a whale noise. Do you know what I mean? All these things that we would deem annoying or getting in the way or anything like that. She just sees the joy in everything.
Yeah, she's a very optimistic character, isn't she? Which I quite like. And also there's like a naivety to her, which means, again, these are quite, you know, humble moments that we've chosen when we think about the genie. But then, yeah, you're right, Winnie the Pooh, Dory, they're very, very simple creatures that just enjoy every day. It's like the book The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. It is just those kind of ordinary moments and finding joy in them, which I really, really like. So my next character is quite different, I think, from the characters that we've already spoken about, and this is a character who is very grateful and very thankful even though they've been dealt a pretty bad hand and are actually living in, I would say, a state of adversity. And I have gone for Cinderella. Now, we know from the live action Cinderella that her kind of motto is about having courage and kindness, but we see this in the animated classic from the 1950s as well. Cinderella is a deeply, deeply grateful person, and she's really grateful for, you know, big bold gestures like the fairy godmother materializing and granting her wish to go to the ball. But we also see a real sincere side to Cinderella. Even when she's working, you know, for her evil stepmother and this evil stepsisters, she's so incredibly grateful and gracious towards her small animal friends. So when her animal friends make the dress for her out of her mother's old ball gown, and, you know, small things like the birds waking her up in the morning. And, you know, she kind of says, I know that clock and all this kind of stuff. And she's incredibly warm to them. She sort of pays it back as well. We see her save Gus and name him from the mousetrap, and she clothes him and everything. I think Cinderella, of all of the Disney princesses, is definitely one of the most gracious. And the fact that her life is so awful and she still maintains that spirit, I think, is a really lovely test of character. And I think it makes her a really good role model to children.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would say that probably out of any of the Disney princesses, she is probably the most, maybe I can think of another couple, maybe they'll come up on this list, who knows, but I think she probably is one of the more gracious ones, especially considering her circumstances. You know, out of anyone, she should not be grateful for her life, but yet we see her there smiling away, making the best of a bad situation day in, day out. So yeah, I think Cinderella is definitely a good one to have on this list. The next character I'm going for, I'm going to go for Pumbaa from The Lion King. Now, Pumbaa, I think, I mean, you can't really talk about Pumbaa without talking about Timon, obviously. And I think that Timon is obviously sort of the louder of the group, the sort of the leader, if you will. He's the one that sort of calls the shots, but actually he thinks he calls the shots, but really everything is actually Pumbaa's idea. But Pumbaa never corrects him on this, because I think Pumbaa is just so grateful to have this unlikely friendship with Timon. Again, it's another unlikely friendship here. And, you know, Pumbaa has his issues. He's a warthog, you know, who really wants to be friends with a warthog? We know he has problems with wind, and all the other animals would turn away from him, but not Timon, not Simba. They stick by him. And we see him at the end with the dedication when he goes back to help Simba fight against Scar. He even uses himself as bait at one point. And I just think that he is a really great role model for a lot of people in terms of thinking about friendships and things like that. And that's why he is on my list.
Oh, I love that you've got Pumbaa. I think Pumbaa's another one as well, like thinking about Cinderella there and kind of adversity. We know from that moment in Hakuna Matata when he's singing that he didn't have like the best childhood, and all of the other animals at the waterhole used to laugh at him, and he's still such a happy, optimistic individual despite that. And I think that just makes him even more lovable, which is very, very sweet indeed. Moving swiftly on to my next character, and I've been a little bit naughty as I've chosen a Pixar character, although I guess you had Dory, didn't you? So fine, Pixar's allowed today. And I have gone for Remy, my mate Remy, from my favourite Disney Pixar movie, which is, of course, Ratatouille. Now, I like Remy a lot because, again, he is another character who comes from very, very humble beginnings, and he expresses gratitude for the opportunity that he receives. Not only is he incredibly gracious towards his friendship with Linguini and the kind of bond, again, another unlikely duo, Tash, but he's also really, really appreciative of the fact that he is able to cook. And I love the whole motto, the gusto thing, anyone can cook. And I love the ending of that when they're like, no, not anyone can cook, but a great cook can come from anywhere. I love that. And I just think the fact that, yeah, not only is he incredibly gracious and grateful for the friendship that Linguini gives him and like sharing his home with Linguini and everything, but there's also that joy that cooking gives to him, and, you know, his absolute pleasure to share that with other people, to share his food with other people. I think feeding people, cooking a meal for somebody, is like one of the most loving things that a person can do. And I think the moment that like really exemplifies how thankful and gracious Remy is the first night that he spent in Linguini's tiny little apartment in Paris, and all of the ingredients in the fridge have gone, like there's no eggs, there's nothing. And Linguini immediately thinks, oh my God, who am I, you know, welcoming a rat into my house? What an idiot. And there's Remy, you know, in the kitchen preparing him an omelette for breakfast without prompting. And I think that's, even though, you know, he can't speak to Linguini, that's his way of saying to Linguini, thank you so much for welcoming me into your home. And here's a lovely omelette to say thanks.
I love that moment. I love Remy. I think that my love for Remy has only really started in like the past year and a half when I've realised how great Ratatouille actually is. When it first came out, it was always one of those movies that I wasn't so bothered about. But yeah, this, I've really grown to love this movie of recent. And I think that Remy is, he's a lovely little character. And I think that he does really show gratitude through the, you know, through the opportunity that he wouldn't otherwise be given. And another character that I've got on my list who is also grateful for his opportunity is Baymax from Big Hero 6. Now, Baymax is probably one of my most favourite Disney characters. I just think he is hilarious. I think he's lovely. He's so, so lovable. But he is very grateful as well. Obviously, he is given the opportunity to help others. You know, he is your, what is it they call him, like it's personal health care assistant. There we go, I was on the right track. So his desire to help others is just there, and obviously he's very grateful for his friendship with Hero and what Hero does for him, and he wants to return the favor by joining them and becoming part of, you know, the Big Hero 6. And we know that he's very grateful, because at the end of the movie, we have one of the most selfless acts that any character can do by essentially sacrificing himself to save Hero in that weird vortex that they go into. So I think that Hero is obviously grateful for Baymax as well, but I think that grateful just exuberates thankfulness and gratuity, and I could not have him on this list.
I love that moment at the end of Big Hero 6. It is literally, yeah, I couldn't say it better than you just did, Tash. It's, oh, so sad. And yeah, sacrifice is the ultimate. Maybe we should have thought about people that sacrifice themselves, because that is like the most selfless act that there is. But yeah, I don't know, is selflessness the same as thanks? I'm not sure. Maybe that would create an entirely new list, and maybe that's another episode for another day, who knows. So up next on my list, I have got another Pixar character. So apologies for that. I don't know if I said from the Disney classics in the beginning or not. I don't think I did. I think I just said Disney characters. So there we go. It's a hybrid. Although I'm not expecting Tash to bash out any Star Wars or Marvel characters today, although strange things have happened. So I have got Mater, our lovely Tow Mater without the ter. From Cars and Cars 2 and Cars 3. But Cars is the only one of those three movies that I think is worth my time, so we will stick with that. And again, Mater is another one of these very like simplistic, humble characters who kind of comes from, you know, very humble beginnings, but is incredibly grateful and thankful, and just again a little bit naive. There's kind of like a very common kind of archetype of a character that's emerging from this list, these naive, simple characters, which Mater absolutely is. So I think that there's a real appreciation towards his friendships, particularly towards Lightning McQueen, who we see him befriend in the movie. And he shows this gratefulness and thanks, I think, by being incredibly loyal. He is so incredibly, incredibly loyal to his friends, all of the citizens of Radiator Springs, and obviously, as I say, Lightning McQueen. And I think that that is how he shows thanks for those friendships, which is absolutely lovely to see. He's super down to earth. And again, he's got really, like, he takes joy from these small pleasures in life, which makes him super endearing. So I'm thinking about that scene where the cows flip upside down and he just thinks it's absolutely hilarious and like the best thing he's ever seen, and he has to share it with Lightning, and then that becomes like their fun little thing. And then at the very end of the movie, when Lightning arranges for Mater to go in the Dinoco helicopter and fly over Radiator Springs, and he's just so incredibly grateful for that opportunity. So yeah, another character who comes from very humble beginnings and takes absolute joy and pleasure from really simple everyday things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a really underrated character as well, actually. Next up on my list, I have someone that you probably wouldn't necessarily instantly think is grateful, but hear me out. So I have gone with another Winnie the Pooh character, and I've gone for Eeyore. Now, I know Eeyore basically embodies depression, and therefore you can argue that he's probably not very grateful. He's very negative. He finds the doom and gloom in everyday situations, whereas a lot of other characters on this list have found the light in every other situation. But I think one thing that is great about Eeyore is that despite his kind of negative demeanor, his friends all love him just the way he is. And for that, I think he is grateful. They don't try to change him. They don't expect him to be anything that he's not. He's always still invited to all the social gatherings, the birthday parties, et cetera, et cetera. And they just love him as he is. And in, you know, some of the stories, some of the movies, they have tried to cheer him up by bringing him various presents and things like that. And I think that Eeyore is just fundamentally grateful that he has friends around him who love him and that he's not forgotten and not just left on his own because of his not sunny disposition. What's like the opposite? His negative disposition. So I think that through Eeyore, I think we actually see gratitude from him occasionally, but I think it by his personality, I think we see gratitude surround him in the form of the other friends of the 100 Acre Wood.
Love that. Love that. Okay, fun little question for you. You mentioned there that Eeyore kind of embodies depression, and there's been a lot of like articles and things like that where various people have said that they think the 100 Acre Wood characters embody like different character traits. So like Piglet is obviously a very anxiety ridden, kind of nervous person. As you know, one of my oldest friends and probably one of the few people in the world that knows me very intimately, if I had to be a 100 Acre Wood character, which one would it be and why?
Oh, that is a good question. I feel like most people are just generically a mix of them all. Because like you have got the anxiety side, but then that's not who you are. That's not what you're all about. I think we can all be negative from time to time. I think we all have things that we're really energetic and passionate about in the way that Tigger is. I think we all like to just hide ourselves away sometimes and get all cozy, like Winnie the Pooh would. I think you've got the motherly side in you now, obviously, as good old Kanga. Rabbit, I don't really see so much.
Maybe. I am so glad that you said that, because my sister's boyfriend, who listens to this podcast and probably is listening to this right now, says that I really remind him of Rabbit.
Oh, no.
I mean, that is offensive.
Yeah, that is. No, I think out of all of them, that's the one I would associate you with the least.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And then I don't really know so much about Owl and the weird. What's the other thing? There is a beaver, isn't there?
Oh, like a gopher.
Gopher, that's it. Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
He whistles, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't give an answer, Tash. That was a politician's answer. You have to just pick one, or maybe two.
Probably say Winnie the Pooh then, because you're a real creature of comfort and you really like your home and food.
I love that. You're Tigger, by the way. Like, I think you probably, yeah, I think I've known you throughout our lives, and I think what you said was bang on. Like, we all have all of the traits, and I've definitely seen you in Piglet moments, and I've definitely seen you in Kanga moments. But I think knowing you from age 11 to age 33 now, Tash has just had a birthday. Oh my God, that's like three times your age when I met you. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Oh my God, I've known you for 22 years.
Mental. That is literally
22.
That's like nearly a quarter of a century.
22 years. We're so old. Oh my God. Yeah. Knowing you for 22 years. Oh my God. I feel like, overall, Tigger, you're a happy, energetic, passionate lover of life, and I feel like you energize other people as well. You like pick up other people. As I say, definitely had Piglet moments, definitely have Kanga moments, but overall, a Tigger.
I'll take that. I'm quite happy with that.
Your husband is definitely a Tigger.
Oh Yeah, if ever someone was Tigger, it was definitely my husband.
I don't know who my husband would be. This is a fun game, isn't it? He's definitely not a Piglet and not a Tigger. I don't think he's an Eeyore either.
No, again, I think a combination. A Christopher Robin.
Do you know he used to love Christopher Robin when he was a little boy? Because for obvious reasons, I feel like he's an owl.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that is a very good shout.
There we go. Oh dear, love that game. And yeah, do let us know which character you are from the 100 Acre Woods. It's one of my favorite things to think about. So there we are. And I have got another classic character up next from one of the original Golden Age Disney movies, and I've got good old Jiminy Cricket. So Jiminy is obviously a very righteous person who, you know, his whole character trope is teaching Pinocchio wrong from right. But I think he's also an incredibly humble and gracious individual. Again, another one who comes from humble beginnings. When we first see Jiminy Cricket in Geppetto's workshop, he's wearing kind of like rags, kind of like pauper attire. He's clearly like out on the streets. I think he's homeless. I think he's literally gone into Geppetto's to seek warmth and shelter. So we've got this poor little homeless character, but despite that, he observes what's happening and he's like, someone needs to teach this kid wrong from right. And he feels so passionately about doing that he takes on this role as Pinocchio's guide, mentor, and of course his conscience. And he is so incredibly grateful. My favorite Jiminy Cricket moment, apart from of course the beginning where he's singing When You Wish Upon a Star, is the moment when the three good fairies bloody hell, wrong. That moment where, you know, three characters from an entirely different movie, no, that's not what I meant to say, the moment where the blue fairy comes in and she grants him the conscience badge at the end of the movie, and he says something like, oh, ain't that swell, or something, and he's so proud of himself. It's so lovely to see, and so grateful to have that. And I feel like just overall the dedication that he has to helping Pinocchio make the right choices really reflects a character who's clearly got a deep sense of gratitude for really having the opportunity to be his mentor, but more importantly, having a lasting positive impression on a young boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Jiminy Cricket is the perfect fit for this list. And such an inspiration to many, I would say. Next up on my list, I've got another human character. I don't seem to have many, if any of those, actually, on my list so far. So I'm going in with my first person. And I have got Anna from Frozen. And I feel like Anna, you know, I just love Anna. She's very whimsy. She's very bubbly. She's very, very a happy soul. And, you know, she's not the queen, she's the princess. So I guess she's not the massive deal, but she's just so grateful to have her lovely little family unit. Of course, we see their parents pass away. And she's just so grateful that she has her sister. Obviously, they don't really grow up together because Elsa is kept away from her. But when we have the coronation and they come together again, we see how grateful she is that the gates are open, that she gets to be reunited with her sister. And it doesn't matter what her sister has done, you know, when everyone thinks that her sister is some kind of witch and is evil and she runs away to the mountains, Anna doesn't care. She is just so happy to have her sister that she basically forsakes everything else and goes after her. She doesn't know what her sister's powers are like at this point. You know, she is taking a big risk, but she doesn't send anyone else. She goes on her own because family is very, very important to Anna. And again, she's very, very selfless throughout Frozen and Frozen 2. Constantly, we see her kind of put herself in peril at the aim of basically saving and helping her sister. And, you know, we see her really, she's grateful for other characters as well. One I might talk about in a minute, so I'm not going to go into too much detail there. But yeah, I love her. I think she just embodies gratefulness.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think her dedication to like having a relationship with Elsa as well through the Do You Want to Build a Snowman scene, like it's really important to her to have that bond and have that closeness. And ultimately, I think that it's that character trait that is why she makes such a good queen at the end of Frozen 2. And hey, we're getting a Frozen 3 and a Frozen 4. So we're going to get to see a whole load more of Queen Anna in the near future. I have also got a human character on my list, and it's another Disney princess. We've had a couple of them now. And I have gone for probably, I would say, the most hardworking of all of the different Disney princesses, and that is Princess Tiana from Princess and the Frog. Now, I think that Tiana is an incredibly gracious human being. As I say, she's very hardworking. She's very dedicated to achieving her dreams of opening this restaurant. And I think her journey throughout the movie really reflects like this appreciation that she has for the value of not only perseverance, but the people around her who support her. So we see this early on in the beginning with like her dad, and of course, kind of he's the cook in the family and gives her the fire that she really needs to fuel this passion, this dream of hers. And then of course there's her mother, who she takes to the building that she hopes to one day transform into Tiana's palace. And then of course there's the friends that she makes along the way, Naveen being the obvious one, but then also the Bayou friends, Ray and also Louis. So I think that there's a gratitude there. I know it sounds really silly, but I think Tiana's just like thankful to be alive and to have a passion and a dream and to be able to kind of chase that. And we don't really see that from any of the other princesses, right? We don't get that heart. We don't get that fight for just having a really nice life, which is really nice to see. So I think that she is an incredibly thankful human being, but where Cinderella is very gracious and thankful and kind of takes pleasure in small things, but then just kind of lives her mundane day to day, Tiana's got a little bit more drive, a little more gumption. And I guess to kind of really thank her dad's memory, she takes that fire and wants to do something to make him proud and ultimately fulfill herself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Tiana is definitely one of my favorite princesses. And I think she's such a positive role model, probably one of the best role models in terms of the Disney princesses. I teased a moment ago that there might be another character from Frozen on my list, and you can probably guess who it is already. And it is, of course, the lovable snowman himself, Olaf. Now, Olaf is just grateful for absolutely everything. He sees the beauty in every little moment in life, whether it's getting a carrot for a nose, whether it's having a snow cloud over you, whether it's for a warm hug, a nice friendship with Anna, with Sven. He's just grateful for absolutely everything. He definitely has a naivety about him as well. And he's just so happy all of the time. Nothing seems to put him in a state of fear. He's willing to, again, sacrifice himself for the sake of others. You know, that famous line, some people are worth melting for. And I think that he's just so grateful for, again, being alive. You know, Elsa created Olaf, and through her magic, he became a real life living snowman. And I think he's just so grateful that he gets to experience life. And obviously has the dream of being able to experience summer. And in his naivety, has no idea what that means for him. But at the end, you know, we see, obviously, he has his snow cloud, so he is able to enjoy, you know, the warmth and not just the snow. And he's so grateful for it. And I just think that, yeah, Olaf is someone that we could learn a lot from, I think, in terms of appreciating the small moments in life.
I agree. And I thought I was going to hate Olaf. I remember the trailer with Olaf and Sven, and Sven's like trying to get his carrot nose. And I remember looking at the animation and thinking, oh, look at this snowman. He looks awful. And I couldn't have been more wrong. He's honestly one of my favorite Disney characters of all time. I think he'd probably be like my top five. Honestly, I love him so much. And I'm really glad that he made it onto this Thanksgiving Day list. Up next, I've got a much less known character than Olaf, definitely less mainstream, from a movie that I absolutely adore and is also very underrated, Atlantis. I think there's like a colon to Atlantis, isn't it? Like Atlantis, the lost world. I don't know. It was just Atlantis to me. Yeah, the lost empire. That's it. The lost world. But I don't actually think that was its name in the UK. I feel like it was just Atlantis, and maybe that's like an American name because I've only just discovered that in recent years. But anyway, I digress. Just so happens, also stars one of my favorite actors from my favorite movie of all time, Mr. Michael J. Fox. So, you know, Atlantis is ticking a lot of boxes for me. And one of those boxes is one of the main characters, and that is, of course, Kida, our very beautiful 800-year-old female protagonist. I think she's 800. She's something like that. And I think she's an incredibly, incredibly gracious and thankful individual. And not only is there like a real gratitude in her character for kind of like the preservation of her city and her culture and her heritage and all that good stuff, but also I really love how grateful she is for Milo. So when her father kind of sees these settlers arrive from the land and he's very dismissive or whatever, she is so thankful, grateful for the opportunity to learn a little bit more about their city, because obviously, you know, that's kind of the whole plot point. These people in Atlantis have been down there for so long that they've actually forgotten how to read their own language, and they've actually forgotten a lot of their heritage, how to make the like the machinery work with the crystals. They've forgotten all of that. They've really lost a lot of themselves. And so with Milo's help, they're able to restore a lot of their heritage, they're able to read a lot of the transcriptions, they're able to make the vehicles work, and then obviously at the end of the movie make Atlantis the thriving city that it once was. And Kida is incredibly humble and gracious and just very thankful towards Milo. I think that their romance is a really unlikely one, you know, this kind of like geeky professor and then this like absolutely beautiful kind of Amazonian woman that lives at the bottom of the ocean and is hundreds of years old and looks 21. But I really love their chemistry, and as I say, a really underrated movie, a really underrated character, but one that I do think is very thankful and gracious.
Yeah, Atlantis isn't a film that I'm so familiar with, and Kida especially is not a character that I know an awful lot about, so I'll take your word for it on this one, Mercedes. Next up on my list, I've got a character very, very dear to my heart, and I have got James P. Sullivan, Sully, from Monsters, Inc., probably my all-time favourite Pixar movie, one of my favourite Disney Pixar movies combined altogether. But I think with Sully, I don't think we always see him as particularly grateful at the start of the movie. Obviously, he's got a real strong friendship with Mike. Mike, you know, we have that scene at the beginning where Mike is like forcing him out of bed and he's like, I don't believe I ordered a wake-up call, Mike. And I think Mike's a bit of a slave driver with Sully. So I don't think Sully is always presented as being particularly grateful for his friendship with Mike. I do think we see that changes though. And of course, from Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc., or the sequel, but really the prequel, we see that he is just very driven, very hardworking, and he just wants to be the top scarer to, you know, make his dad proud. However, I think when he meets Boo in Monsters, Inc., I think that does soften his character, and I think that changes him a lot. And I think he becomes very grateful to her for the lessons that she teaches him. And, you know, she teaches him, hey, it's not all about scaring. You're actually really funny. You can make, you know, make people laugh, or just because you are a scarer, that's not what life is all about. Maybe you need to give Mike a turn and he can become the, not scarer, but not laugher, comedian, I don't know. But you know what I'm getting at here. So yeah, I think that he is very grateful for Boo in terms of what she teaches him about his own life. And yeah, I think that he, you know, just shows absolute love and admiration for this little toddler girl that stumbles into his world and just changes it, turns it upside down. So that's why Sully is on my list.
Love it. And another unlikely duo, right? Boo and Sully, love it a lot. I have got another Pixar character. There's a lot of Pixar characters on today's list, actually, and a human one as well. Not that many Pixar human characters exist. So listeners, you probably have an idea of who I'm talking about. And I have gone for Russell from Pixar's Up. Now, Russell is actually quite an irritating character when you first start watching the movie, or at least he was irritating to me when I first watched it. But actually, he's a character who, again, comes from quite a humble background. I think we learn that he's in foster care or is that sort of thing. And there's that line where he's talking about Phyllis. And I think it's Carl that says, like, why do you call Phyllis Phyllis or something like that. And he's like, Phyllis isn't my mom. And then you kind of see the realization on Carl's face, and he's absolutely feeling exactly as we're all feeling as the audience, this poor little boy you suddenly feel really endeared towards because you know that he doesn't have parents or whatever, or a mom. So yeah, very, very sad kind of backstory, but just the purest heart, a heart of absolute gold, so sincere. All he wants to do is collect his wilderness badges and assist the elderly, which is how he and Carl meet and how their worlds collide. I think that he expresses deep gratitude for the adventure that he goes on with Carl, which is really lovely, and the friendship and companionship, the camaraderie that they have together. And I think also that his determination for getting that wilderness explorer badge really shows a strength of character. Again, for somebody to come from adversity, we spoke about this with Cinderella, but still be such a humble, kind and good-natured person shows a real thanks and a real gratitude to the people around them in their life that do want to support them on their mission. And again, an unlikely duo, Carl and Russell. I really do love their story.
Oh, we do seem to be loving an unlikely duo on this list. I have also got another unlikely duo next up on mine. We're getting towards the end of our list now. And I've gone for Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, who, again, I think is one of the most underrated female characters in any Disney movie. I'm a big, big Esmeralda fan, big fan of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I think out of all the characters, Esmeralda is, I mean, I'm probably wrong here, but I can specifically hear her saying a line where she expresses her gratitude to Quasimodo and says something about how grateful she is that they're helping. I can't remember what she says, but I'm sure she says something like, I'm really grateful to you. But yeah, we see Esma's gratitude through her kindness, with her friendship with Quasi. He obviously does so, so much for her. And I think that he is obviously really grateful as well to have a friend like Esmeralda. But she, you know, again, unlikely duo. He does a lot for her. He really helps her out. And I think that just by how she treats him, how kind she is, she's such a good, good person. She is just really grateful that she has the support from him. And in the end of the movie as well, well, not just the end of the movie, but from Phoebus as well. She's very grateful that those two really kind of come together. Again, another unlikely duo to, you know, help protect all the gypsies from Frollo. Quasi obviously saves her at the end and goes against his master, Frollo. And I think that, yeah, I love that moment at the end of the movie where we see them come out of the bell tower together as the three of them just holding hands. I still always think it's a crying shame that they made that movie a love story between Phoebus and Esmeralda. I think that they could have just been three great friends, but there we go, never mind. So yeah, that's where Esmeralda is on my list. I think that she just embodies gratitude through her kindness and her loving nature.
Controversially, I like the love story between Phoebus and Esmeralda because you've got a little bit of like a Romeo and Juliet, different worlds and that sort of stuff, a la John Smith and Pocahontas. But also, like, they're both very attractive characters. I feel like they would meet and be like, oh yeah, I like a bit of you. The one that really irritates me, and I think we've spoken about it before, Tash, is Mulan. Like, Shang is so rude to her when she's Ping, and like then he finds out she's a woman, but like he's known her for ages as a man, and then he's suddenly interested in her. It's like, oh, now you have breasts, we'll date, like, but I hated you before. Like, I really take issue with that. It really annoys me, and I feel like if it was made today, they absolutely wouldn't put the love story in between Mulan and Shang.
100%. Yeah, I literally couldn't agree with you more there.
Oh, I hate their love story, it really stresses me out. Anyway, moving on, this is a love story that potentially causes issues for a lot of Disney fans as well, because they kind of fall in love a little bit too quickly without getting to know each other. I am, of course, talking about the movie that started it all, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, our first ever Disney classic and our first ever Disney princess, Snow White. And again, much like Cinderella, she is a character who comes from adversity. I mean, her situation's a little bit different. She is a princess, she is living in the castle, and yes, we see her doing kind of chores and things at the beginning of the movie, but I don't think her life is quite as restrictive as Cinderella's. That said, I don't think the evil stepmother actually wants Cinderella dead, whereas Snow White's stepmother actually wants her murdered and sends a hunter out to do the job. So I don't know, heads and tails, toss a coin. I'm not really sure who's got it worse, but ultimately Snow White finds this little cottage in the woods after the hunter has shown her mercy. And she finds these seven dwarves who she lives with. And again, she's incredibly grateful and thankful for their hospitality. And much like Remy, when he lives in Linguini's apartment in Paris, one of the ways that she shows this generosity, or shows that she's thankful for this generosity and for their hospitality, is by cooking for them. And we see her make a plethora of different meals while she's living under the dwarf's roof. There is, of course, the gooseberry pie that she makes. She makes a pie for Grumpy. I don't know what flavor that is. I assume that's gooseberry also. She makes like a stew, and Doc's like, can you make apple dumplings? And she's like, of course. So I assume she makes apple dumplings at some point, but I'm not really sure that we get to see that. But she cooks and cleans for the movie, in the movie for the dwarves. I sound like Doc now, getting all my words mixed up. And she, you know, whistle while you work is her saying, you know, this cottage will never do. Let's get it nice and clean for the dwarves when they get back from work. And I don't know about you, Tash, but after I've had a long day at work, if I came home and one of my house guests had cleaned the entire house from top to tail, I would be very, very grateful for them too. Although I'm not sure the dwarves show quite as much gratitude towards Snow White as she shows towards them. But I think she's a very good house guest, obviously has very good manners to show them how grateful she is to live in their house. And again, a very positive character despite her awful circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're getting to the end of this list now. So the final character I have got on my list, and it's our only live action character actually that has come up so far, and I have got Giselle from Enchanted. Now, Giselle is the embodiment of sweet nature. She's fun loving. She's very, just a very, very nice person, very, very naive. And again, she's one of those characters that just takes gratitude or shows gratitude for the everyday little things, whether it's singing with a bird, singing with an animal, skipping around in a floaty dress. She just is very happy all of the time. And I think she has a lot to be grateful for. Obviously, she meets lovely Philip, who she ends up with. And he, we see in Disenchanted, basically changes his whole life to be with her. So I think Giselle has a lot to be thankful for. And yeah, I think that this is shown through her, yeah, just her sweet nature. And obviously she's got that really nice relationship with her stepdaughter, Morgan, as well. And they really help each other out. And I just think she's a very sweet, fun-loving character.
I would agree with that. I wish that Enchanted 2, Disenchanted, hadn't been made, but there we are. That's a story for another day. But for me, it really devalues some of those characters. And like, I just, yeah, it's not canon in my eyes, that movie. I really am not a fan. But the original Enchanted, huge, huge fan of. Love Giselle. Completely agree with everything you just said. And we love it so much. It is the introduction to this podcast. So there you go. And my final character for today's episode, a character that on this Thanksgiving 2023, I feel embodies gratitude, thanks, and graciousness. I have got a very underrated character indeed, but eagle eyes amongst you, or eagle ears as we are a podcast, will notice that I did actually mention this character earlier in the episode when we were talking about the Bayou. And I have chosen Ray from Disney's The Princess and the Frog. Ray is the little firefly, for those of you that aren't as familiar with the movie, the firefly that falls in love with the star Evangeline. And at the end of the movie, after his very untimely demise, very, very sad, he becomes a star twinkling up in the sky as well to be with her, which I really like, because I kind of see it as a callback to The Lion King. You know, when Timon and Pumbaa and Simba are speculating about what the stars are, and Simba says, oh, it's the great kings that walked before. And Pumbaa's like, I always thought they were like balls of gas millions of miles away. It's exactly what you're talking about earlier, Tash, where he actually says something accurate and gets dismissed and laughed at by Timon, but sticks with it. But Timon's response is that he thinks they're fireflies that got stuck in the sky. So I really love that in Princess and the Frog, the fireflies become stars once they die. I think it's really beautiful. Anyway, Ray is, again, a character from very humble beginnings, bless him. He doesn't have a love interest, which is how he falls in love with the evening star, the wishing star, Evangeline. And he really expresses gratitude for the love that he feels, not only for Evangeline, but also his friends. And he really helps them on this quest, even though he's only just met them. And he's just got a very heartfelt, loyal nature. And we spoke about loyalty when I was talking about Mata earlier on in the episode. I think that this loyalty that he shows really showcases a character that is just grateful for the warmth and light in his life. And it's beautiful to see. I would say it's very akin to Tiana. I was kind of saying, you know, Tiana is just very thankful to live, and she wants to live the best possible life she can, even if that means she's going to have to work really, really hard to get the things that she wants. She's so grateful and thankful to be alive and to have the opportunity to do that. And I feel like he's the same. He just wants to love and live and help as much as he possibly can. And then obviously he dies at the end of the movie. And it's not very often that a Disney character, especially a good Disney character, actually dies at the end of a film. But Ray dies, and in quite a barbaric way as well. So yeah, really sinister moment at the end, but a character that shows real warmth, heart, and loyalty.
Absolutely. And like you said, another really underrated character as well. So there you have it. They are our top picks for the most grateful Disney characters. But let us know if you think there's anyone obvious that we missed. Who would you have on your list? As always, you can find us on Instagram at Chat Disney.
Or you can find us on Twitter or X at Chat Disney UK.
And that concludes today's episode. We do hope that you had a lovely Thanksgiving if it is something you celebrate. Next week, we are, of course, or this week when the episode goes out, we are moving into the month of December, my favourite time of year, and a very happy time here on the Chat Disney podcast. So you can expect lots of Disney Christmas content, there we go, going forward. But next week's episode, do join in, I'm losing my words now, because we will be talking all about Disney's latest release, Wish. I cannot wait.
I'm very excited. Join us next week and we'll chat all about it.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.